Yesterday we started the Mishnah at the beginning of the third perek. Hakorei Samagila Omei V'Yoshev. The Rashba has a girsa Hakorei Samagila Omei V'Yoshev Yotza, and he explains that the word Yotza indicates only B'di'eved in general, but here it means even L'chatchila. And he proves this from the next din in the Mishnah, that it says that kara echad kara shnayim yatsu. And there it's even lechatchila, because the Brisa says afilu asora korin. Our girsa doesn't have the word yatsu; it has hakore es hamegila omed v'yoshev. And Rashi explains rotsa omed rotsa yoshev. Says the Pnei Yoshua, according to Rashi, the Mishnah wanted to tell you that even lechatchila you could read the Megillah while you're sitting. And that's the mashmos of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Mashen kein b'Torah, and kriyas the Torah, but the evidence you would certainly be yotze if you read it miyushav." And therefore, the whole din of kriyas haTorah requiring amid is only lechatchila, and in Megillah, apparently, even lechatchila yoshev is fine. However, the Shagasari in Turi Evin brings the Rambam in Perik Beis Halacha Zayin of Hilchas Megillah, and the Rambam writes that in a tzibur situation, lo yikra Mu'umad lechatchila. Now, what does that mean? That if they're reading the Megillah as a community, then they should not read it mu'umad. Now, the Gemara says Masha'en kein b'Torah, which seems to indicate that Megillah lechatchila he should read it miyushav af b'tzibur. Because Kriyas HaTorah is B'tzibur. So what's the kasha now on the Rambam? Let's see if we could work this out. The Rambam says that B'tzibur lo yikra me'umad lechatchila. So the Gemara seems to say Masha'en kein b'Torah, that in Megillah you could read it lechatchila miyushav. I think what he means is that according to the Rambam, lechatchila it should be read me'umad. Now, I don't have the Rambam in front of me this second, but if that be the case, then since the Gemara makes a contrast between Megillah and Kriyas HaTorah, we're all talking about Tzibur, it's mashma that as far as Megillah is concerned, you can read it to Miyushav Lechatchila even with Tzibur. And the Rambam apparently says in Tzibur, you should not read it Miyushav Lechatchila. I'll double check that in a minute. He says, the Efshal Lomar, Shemash Omra Gemara Mashen Ki B'Torah Kavona B'Yochid, V'yena kavona l'kriyas haTorah el limud Torah mishum de'iyari li'achar zman Rav Gamliel imkein yochid yochel l'kro yoshev af b'Torah v'mayri lifnei zman Rav Gamliel imkein gam kriyas ha-megillah me'umad b'davka she'ein hi shonah mikol Torah. So the Shagasari understood that Mikra Megillah before the time of Rav Gamliel would also require Amidah insofar as it's Torah. It has no different status than Torah. You know, there's a Kavanah Torah which requires Amidah, and that applies even to Megillah. The Sfasemis, on the other hand, says the Kriyas HaMegillah is not Limud, but it's rather the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. And since it doesn't have the din of Limud, even before Rav Gamliel, they would read the Megillah Miyushav. And that's the way it was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So therefore it's possible to say, says the Sfasemis, that our Mishnah is talking about a Yochid. And when the Gemara says, Masha'en kein b'Torah, it's also referring to a Yochid. V'lo miboy kodem Rav Gamliel sh'tzoch l'lumot b'amida ala af li'achar yimei Rav Gamliel sh'itiru l'lumot b'miyushav hitu rak limud b'kvius mishum chulsha d'inshi aval likro b'sefer Torah Lefisha af biyachid itzarch likro meumot. So therefore, Kriyas HaTorah is different than Kriya Samagila, because with regard to Kriya Samagila, you could read it L'chatchila miYushav, even biYachid. When it comes to the Tzibur, Kriya Samagila, according to the Rambam Shita, requires L'chatchila Me'umad. So I just want to point out here that there's a mistake in the text here, in the Masifta, in Yalkut HaBiurim. He quotes the Rambam, and that's what confuses before. Shebetzimur lo yikra me'umad l'chatchila. It should either be betzimur yikra me'umad l'chatchila, or lo yikra me'yushav l'chatchila. You know, those are your two choices. Now, what about the brachos? So the Pnei Yeshua says that just like the kriya itself is me'yushav, the brachos are also me'yushav. And that's not like the classic brachos. For example, on shofar and tzitzis, we recite the brachos me'umad, and that's the Beis Yosef in Siman Ches, in the name of the Yerushalmi, that all the mitzvahs require brachos me'umad. He says, Rak mitzvos she'ikar mitzvos me'umad. If the mitzvah itself is me'umad, then the brach has to be me'umad. But when the mitzvah itself is not me'umad, like Kriyas HaMegillah, then the brach itself doesn't require me'umad. So here's a machlokas in between the Beis Yosef and the Pnei Yeshua about the din of Birchas HaMitzvos. According to Pnei Yeshua, there's a separate halacha in Birchas HaMitzvos. In and of themselves, they require amida. Whereas according to Pnei Yeshua, the din of the bracha is schlepped along by the mitzvah itself. If the mitzvah requires amida, the bracha requires amida. The Sfasemis writes that our Mishnah is not a proof that the bracha is miyushav. It's possible that the Megillah itself is Me'yushav, the Bracha requires Me'umad. So there's no real proof from our Mishnah, although the Pnei Yeshua understood our Mishnah as saying that both the Kriya and the Bracha are Me'yushav, because the Kriya and the Bracha are one entity. And if you require Me'umad in the Mitzvah, then you require Me'umad in the Bracha, but if there's Me'yushav, then the Bracha also is Me'yushav. The question is, what would the Pnei Yeshua do with the Yerushalmi, the Beis Yosef quoted the Yerushalmi, that all the brachos, all birchos and mitzvah require amida, without any distinction between one mitzvah and the other? So that's an issue. Now, the Iyun Yaakov says that the Kriya of the Megillah, Omed V'yoshev, based on a Medrash, is a remez. It says HaKadosh Baruch Hu dan es ha'umos b'yeshiva ves Yisrael ba'amida. Says the Yin Yaakov on the Agarita, based on this Medrash, that in the Ness of Megillah, Haman was judged, and for him it was b'yeshiva, so to speak, and the Yehudim were judged in the opposite direction for salvation, and that's amida. So there's a remez here in our Mishnah of Omed V'yoshev with regard to Megillah to the Ness of Purim. Cute viz. Now, the Mishnah speaks about Zekar Mechza v'Zekar Mechza. And the Sfasemis that we mentioned yesterday suggests that one read half and the other read the other half. Now that's not the way we interpret this Mishnah. This Fasemis is a Chiddush. The way we interpret the Mishnah of Zekar Chetzia v'Zekar Chetzia, I mean, the language of the Mishnah doesn't reflect Zekar Chetzia v'Zekar Chetzia, but rather it says that they both read simultaneously. It's the Sfasemis is Chiddush that you could reinterpret the Mishnah that Karashnayim doesn't mean that they both read simultaneously, but rather one read half and the other read the other half. The Gemara seems to indicate that they both read simultaneously. But the Sfasemis says the din is emes. If they would both read the Megillah, each one chetzia, they would be yotze. And he writes that efshar, it's possible, shemitam zeh, kosva mishnah loshem b'di'evet, that when it says kara echad kara shnayim yotzu, it's mashu b'di'evet. In other words, bevadai, certainly, as far as kriya shneim b'yachad, Even l'chatchila, it's okay. That's what the Brisa seems to indicate. But the Mishnah uses the Lashon b'di'eved because Karashnayim would mean zemechtza v'zemechtza. Now, it says in the Mishnah, Mokum shenogu levarach yevarech. And we're talking about the bracha l'achreya ha'raves rivenu. The Ritva quotes Yerushalmi that even if the minhag ha'mokum is to make that bracha, efsha sheyikra echad v'yevarech acher, it's possible for Reuven to read the Megillah and Shimon will make the bracha. And he quotes a Maisa Shehoya that they actually gave a kavod to one of the shomim in the audience to recite the bracha l'achreya. And that's the story in the Yerushalmi. He says, as far as the bracha l'faneh is concerned, we should not give out the kibud to somebody to recite the bracha, but rather the kori himself should recite the bracha. Now, what I'd like to discuss with you before we start the regular shiur, if we have two more minutes, is the following question. Hosafos. Rashi seems to indicate that dafka on Sheni v'Chamishi there are no Hosafos. And the reason for that is because these are work days and we don't want to add and extend the Kriya, let people go to work. Shabbos Mincha, we don't have Hosafos. Rashi says because it's Samach L'Chashecha. And on Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, again we have no Hosafos because of Bittul Molacha. Because even though on Chol Hamoed we're enjoined from Molacha, but we're permitted to do Moleches Dover HaAvud. Now it would sound from Rashi that the second half of the Mishnah, where it says Ein Pochsim Mi'enav Mosifin Aleihem, that refers even to Yontif and Yom Kippur, Lav Dafka to Shabbos. And the reason for that is simple, because since on Yontif and on Yom Kippur we have an Isur Molacha, therefore there's no Bittul Molacha, and we can make Hosafos. So we can have Hosafos according to Rashi on Shabbos and Yontif. But the Ran has a different interpretation. And in the name of Acherim, and the Ran writes that the reason why we do not add any extra aliyas on Chol, in other words, on Chol we call three people, but as the Mishnah says, Ein Mosifin, we don't call a fourth person, that has nothing to do with Bittul Molacha, as Rashi says it, but rather Kedelo Shalola Hashvoso in Rosh Chodesh. So you want to make it crystal clear that it's not Rosh Chodesh. Then on Rosh Chodesh we call up four people, but on a weekday we only call up three people. If you call up a fourth person on Chol, then you would have no distinction between Chol and Rosh Chodesh. Same thing will apply in Rosh Chodesh. If we would add a fifth, if we had a Hosafa on Rosh Chodesh or on Chol Shel Moed, then it looks like Yontif, because Yontif has five. So you want to maintain that distinction. If that be the case, then we have a problem on Yontif. If you add a sixth Aliyah, then it looks like Yom Kippur. And if on Yom Kippur you add a seventh Aliyah, Hosafa, then it looks like Shabbos. Therefore, according to the Ran, the obvious conclusion is that Ein Mosifin Aleihem applies in every single case with the only exception of Shabbos. And I believe that that's the minhag, that we only add Hosafos on Shabbos, not on any other occasion.
I thought it all had to do with Kedusha Sayyom. I'm not sure, but it doesn't seem to...
That's basically what he's saying, I think, to Ron. What you're saying, John, is the deeper meaning behind the Ron, that we want to make a distinction and sort of declare, or shall we say, publicize the Kedusha Sayyom. There are different levels of Kedusha Sayyom. So as the Kedusha Sayyom increases, we add Aliyahs. Then you can undermine that whole reflection or demonstration of the Kedusha Sayyom increasing if you add Hosafos. The only exception would be Shabbos. Because in the case of Shabbos, if you add another Aliyah, you're not confusing it with any other Kedusha. And the reason for that is because the highest level of Kedusha is that of Shabbos.
Can you push the table back?
So it comes out that according to the Ran, there are no Hosafos.
Just a little.
With the exception of Shabbos. Okay? Whereas Rashi seems to say that whenever there is Iser Malacha, like for example on Yom Tov or on Yom Kippur, there would be a possibility of Hosafas because there's no Bittul Malacha. So again, what's the prohibition? What's the root or the reason for being very strict about not making Hosafas? What's the reason for it? So here we have Machlok Shin Rashi in the Ran with a clear-cut Nafgamina. According to Rashi, the reason why the Mishnah is opposed to Hosafas is because of Bittul Malacha. People have to get to work. Therefore, on Yom Tov, for Yom Kippur, Rashi would hold that you could make Hosafas. It's a captive audience. No one's running to work. According to the Ran, on the other hand, the Yisod of not making Hosafas is not to equate one day and its sanctity or lack thereof to another day that has a higher sanctity, and therefore we would never make Hosafas with the exception of Shabbos. And the Tzam Sofer says the following. The Mishnah says, Ein pochsin b'hem, that you now have less than the minimum number of Korim as required in the Mishnah. And that refers to Yom Tov and Yom Kippur as well. So on Yom Tov, not less than 5. And on Yom Kippur, not less than 6. And that's the barest minimum. And then the Mishnah says, Avol Mosifin Aleihem, says the Tzam Sofer, that only refers to Shabbos. If you go like the Ran, as we said before, only on Shabbos are you allowed to make Hosafos. So it's a little bit interesting because the Mishnah says Ein pochsin b'hem, but Avol Mosifin Aleihem. I mean that distinction between Ein pochsin b'hem and Avol Mosifin Aleihem, according to the Ran, only applies to Shabbos. But really Ein pochsin b'hem applies to everything, not just to Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says Maftirim b'Novi, and that goes back on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur as well. So you have one statement in the Mishnah that says Ein pochsin b'hem, which that could refer to Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. Then it says Ein mosifin aleihem. I'm sorry, Avol mosifin aleihem, and that does not refer to Yom Tov and Yom Kippur according to the Ran. And then the Mishnah says Maftir b'Novi, which goes back again to Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. It's a very choppy Mishnah. Do you follow the Mishnah? It jumps around. First it makes a statement that only applies to Shabbos and doesn't apply to Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. Then it goes back to a statement of Maftir and B'Navi, which applies even to Shabbos and to Yom Kippur. So it's a bit choppy. Okay, what I'd like to start today...
Just one second.
Yeah, please.
In the Shulchan Aruch.
I don't have a Shulchan Aruch here. If you want to read the Shulchan Aruch, that's fine.
Yeah.
Morning, Zachariah.
Morning.
Nothing new other than Mutter Hosef Zachariah Beyoto. Yeshamim She'en Hosef.
Right. So the first day is Rashi because there's no Bittul Malach. The second day is the Ran because we don't want to equate the Kedusha. So as soon as you add a Karu, it's now, what I'd like to learn with you now is the first Tosfos in Masechta. I'm sorry, in Perek Shlishi. So we're on Chaf Aleph, and we're looking at the Tosfos HaKore. Now, this Tosfos tells me about a minhag which I never heard of, and I was absolutely amazed about this minhag. So I'm going to read the Tosfos with you. And you're going to tell me if you are familiar with this minhag. The Mishnah says, Ein maftirin b'navi. And basically the Mishnah sets up the following distinction. You have on the one hand a Kriyas HaTorah on Sheni v'Chamishi, and you have Shabbos Mincha. And here the Mishnah says there's no Haftorah. And then we go on to the second part of the Mishnah, and there we have Yom Tov, and we have Yom Kippur, and we have Shabbos, and there is Haftorah. Kashal Rabbeinu Tam. To beperek b'mem adlikin, Amar Rav Achdeboi, I'm not familiar with this Amora, She'el Mole Shabbos, Ein Novi b'mincha, b'yom Tov shechalios b'Shabbos. So let's try to understand the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that if there's an overlap between Yontif and Shabbos, right, Yontif fell out on Shabbos, then in the bracha, at the end of the last bracha after the Haftorah, Mincha time, we're going to omit the mention of Yontif, and we're going to only mention Shabbos. Why? So the Gemara explains, because the Haftorah here is because of Shabbos and not because of Yontif. So we're not going to say Mekadesh Yisrael ve HaShabbos ve Azmanim. We're going to just say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Now we're talking Mincha time.
Yeah.
Right? Because as far as Haftorah Shachar's time, certainly you're going to mention in the bracha both Yontif and Shabbos, because the Haftorah is generated by both Yontif and Shabbos. Uh-huh. But Mincha time, the Haftorah is only generated by Shabbos, and if we omit mention of Yontif. Apparently, the Gemara assumed that there are two Haftorahs every Shabbos. There's one Haftorah that we read in the morning.
What are we talking about? Haftorah Mincha?
Haftorah Mincha. That's Rabbi Natan's problem. Where the Mishnah says,
Shabbat Yom Kippur.
The Mishnah says that on three occasions there's no Haftorah. Number one is Sheni, number two is Chamishi, and number three Shabbos B'Mincha. Yeah. So it's the state Mefurish in the Mishnah that there's no Haftorah Mincha time. Yeah. And yet the Gemara in Shabbos assumes that there's Haftorah Mincha time. Just Haftorah Mincha on Shabbos is different than Haftorah in the morning, in the case where Yontif coincides with Shabbos. That Haftorah in the morning, you're going to mention Shabbos and Yontif, because both Shabbos and Yontif participate in that Haftorah. But Mincha time, you can omit the mention of Yontif, because there is no Haftorah Mincha on Yontif, but there's Haftorah Mincha on Shabbos. That's against our Mishnah. So why do I mention this Tosus to you? Because his answer just, it blew me away. He says, "V'tzarech lomer the haidekomer hasam the maftir bin Novi bin Mincha b'Shabbos." Where do we find such a thing? Our Mishnah says just the opposite. There is no Haftorah on Mincha Shabbos. He says, Lav Dafka Navi. That's not what the Gemara means. The word Navi should be interpreted loosely. Ela Ratzalomar Biksuvim. Now, I never heard of a Haftorah Biksuvim. That's a new one on me. And in the back here, in the Yalkut Avi Urim, he says that the Rashba was very upset about this Rabbeinu Tam. He says, right? He says, we never found such a minog of reading off Torah from Ksuvim, right? We divide the Torah into three parts, as Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim. All the Haftorahs come from Navi. There's not one single Haftorah that comes from Ksuvim. And yet Tosus says that Eina Kavana Shom Dafka Bin Novi Elo B'Ksuvim V'Yesh Mekomos according to Rabbeinu Tam Shenogu L'Hafter B'Ksuvim V'Shabbos B'Mincha. And he says V'Hik Shal Tzah Rash B'Lo Matzinu V'Af Mokom Shekori B'Ksuvim Haftorah. We never found the Ksuvim as Haftorah. So the Rashba has to offer another answer, and he says Ein Chiyuv L'Haftir Rak b'Shabbos v'Yontif Shachris, ach mikol makom b'mokom shenogu l'haftir b'mincha yaftiru. He says that Gemara is talking about a strange minhag which we're not familiar with, but they had a minhag of reciting Haftorah not only Shachris on Shabbos, but also Mincha on Shabbos. Now the Sfasemis tries to offer another pshat here. He wants to suggest that why don't we have Haftorah on Mincha B'Shabbos? So Rashi tells us because it's Samach L'Chashecha. Notice they used to have drushes, and then it was getting very late, and it was time for Mincha. I know in the Amic Learning Center during the summer months, I give a drusha for an hour before Mincha. Thank God during the winter I don't have to do that. Oh, it's a whole different experience of Shabbos, let me tell you that. Anyway, so he says that in the case where Yontif overlaps with Shabbos, they didn't have a minhag to be Dorish. Now, I'm going to tell you this, but I want you to forget this, because he says, Mishum Simchas Yontif. So they dropped the drasha because of Simchas Yontif. So if Yontif overlaps with Shabbos, then they had plenty of time. There was no drasha. So Mincha was early, and therefore they could recite the Haftorah. So basically he's saying like this, both Shacharis and Mincha on Shabbos require Haftorah, so to speak, in theory. But we drop the Haftorah Mincha time only because it's very late, because the drasha gets us, you know, projects us late. But when it's Yontif and Shabbos, therefore, since it's Yontif, there's no drasha. And the absence of the drasha, we can recite the Haftorah at Mincha time, in addition to the Haftorah Shacharis time. Just so we won't mention Yontif, because the Yontif never, never, ever has a drasha Mincha time. Okay. Now, who's going to make the bracha on Kriyas HaTorah? So Moshe, you're a Kohen, so you're in good shape, because you're going to open up with the bracha. Do we have any Levim here? John, you're a Levi, right? So imagine, John, if you lived at the time of the Mishnah, you would never make a bracha on the Aliyah. Now, Eric pointed out yesterday that he thought that it would be very important for you as a Levi to read the Kriya, because otherwise they're calling you up to the Torah and you're doing nothing. I looked and I searched. I was really disappointed. I couldn't find anyone to raise this question. But it's an excellent point. I don't know.
Well, the Levi is going to read the Kriya, even though he doesn't say the bracha.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Eric's point was, that you better be prepared, you know, to read the Torah. I'm talking back in the Mishnah time. Because otherwise, what's the point of calling you up? It's just a formality. You know, you're standing like a dumbbell, you know. You're not going to make a bracha, and you're not reading the Torah. So, Yamod, you know, Levi.
Yeah.
By the way, the person who got Levi today in my minion, I think his first name is Walter. I don't know if you know him.
Yeah.
So after he got out of the Aliyah, he gave me a special bracha, and he said I should have peace and so forth and so on. It was very, very moving. So I said to him, "It's a good thing you're a Levi, not a Kohen." Why? Because Rav Tzvi Hirsch Frank, who was the chief rabbi in Jerusalem about 100 years ago, he was opposed to saying Yashar Koach to the Kohen when he comes down from Duchen. Moshe, when you come down from Duchen, people say Yashar Koach.
Yeah,
so Rav Hirsch was opposed to it.
There's two sides. Yeah, but yeah.
Unless
you're on the bracha.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you know this, Rav Hirsch.
No. Yeah.
So Rav Hirsch says that if somebody says Yashar Koach, you shouldn't say Baruch Tia, because that would be Baltosif. You know, you're not allowed to add to the Baruch Koach.
But then someone learns up the other way. It's not really Baltosif.
So I would say the following, Moshe, that if you get an Aliyah, then I think there's no problem. Meaning, the problem would be if you come down from the Duchen and immediately somebody says to Yashar Koach, you say Baruch Tia, that might be Baltos, because it's Somach, you know. But if you get an Aliyah, that's already a few minutes later, again in the minion that I dealt with is about 60 seconds later.
Yeah. We tell Rosh Chodesh Nisan.
Right.
I'd like to know how quickly they say Tafanun on Monday and Thursday.
I don't even begin. I just give it a start, and then I just skip to Vayom Adom.
Okay, let's just put it on the table. Okay, everybody skips in Tefillah. Everybody skips. Okay, old man would go up. I mean,
in any minute, you say? Straight across the earth. I wouldn't be so cynical. I don't agree with you.
There was a Yosef Kamenetz, not Reuven, and he would.
So he
took his kids once up. He says, "Look at this guy. This guy." They look, how did he do? He skips. They just skip. The point is just to be fast and to skip. This is an old European way of doing things. When I was in Toronto, I used to say, like, these guys were just skipping. Today it's different. Today things are slower. What went on? No, guys are reading. Then guys didn't read.
Who was the insurance guy? He passed away now.
Paul Tobias?
Tobias.
Yeah.
Tobias, at the end of every minion that I went to in the morning, used to get up and say, perfect timing. Why? Because they finished in 29 minutes. Paul Tobias.
But he was always on the clock. He was always on the clock. Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at the Gemara.
No, not really.
Yeah, does everybody have a place?
His personality was very...
Tana.
He was a dark person.
So again, as we said yesterday, the Mishnah introduces Kriyas HaTorah because once we have the laws of Kriyas HaMegillah, the Mishnah wants to compare and contrast Kriyas HaMegillah with Kriyas HaTorah. So here we have the first contrast. The Mishnah says that the Megillah can be read while you're sitting. And the Brice in Tana says, Masha Enkei B'Torah, that Kriyas HaTorah, when it's read B'Tzibur, requires Amidah. Okay, then, and that's generally the case for almost anything that is done b'tzibur that we require amida, and Kriya Sator is not an exception. The truth is that, as we'll learn later on in Chof Gimel, anything that's done b'tzibur is what we call a davar shebekedusha, right? A davar shebekedusha requires asara, and it also requires amida. And Kriya Sator is a kiyum of davar shebekedusha, so far as davar shebekedusha requires amida. Now, how do we know that with regard to Kriya Sator B'tzibur you require amida? Is it just simply because of davar shebekedusha? For example, if I'm learning Torah on a private basis and I'm after Rabbi Gamliel, right? It was different when before Rabbi Gamliel died. Then I sit and I learn Torah. That's why we're all sitting. If we were in a, let's take a time machine back to Rabbi Gamliel's time, we'd all be standing. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk, and this pasuk is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was called by God to receive the Torah at Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. Omer Avon Makra, the pasuk says, V'ata po amod imadi, and you stand with me. Now, we're going to learn two halachas here from this pasuk, but right now we're learning the halacha that the Baal Koreh is going to have to stand. Now, are we learning that from Moshe Rabbeinu, or are we learning from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel? I'm going to assume right now that we're learning it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is meant to transmit the Torah, so he's like the Baal Koreh, and therefore Hashem says you have to stand and read the Torah on behalf of the tzibur. The Omer Rabbi Avo, il boli mikra kosu v'yefsholi omra. And what this means is the following, that if we take the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, ato po amodi madi, as a case of limud Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, stand with me. So Rabbi Avo says that if God says, stand with me, there are two halachas here. One halacha is that Moshe Rabbeinu, as the student who's on the receiving end, and the Torah is being transmitted to him, he has to stand. And again, this is going to be the situation before Rabbi Gamliel dies. But not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel is also standing, because he says, Imadi, which means that the Rebbe himself, who's transmitting the Torah, he too has to stand. And the reason I mentioned to this is because the Gemara tells us in Ksubas that at the time of David HaMelech, the Rebbe used to sit and the Talmidim would stand. But from the perspective of Rabbi Avo, that's not so. Both the Rebbe who's transmitting the Torah, as well as the student for sure who's receiving the Torah, both have to stand, because this pasuk ata po amodi madi indicates both af HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'amido, that God was also standing. And here in the footnote he writes, in the name of the Marsha, shekavonis Rabbi Avo b'drosh ezu lahosif sha'af harav tzorich la'amod. Right, that even the Rav who's teaching Torah has to stand. And again, this is all before the death of Rabbi Gamliel. The Omer Rabbi Avo, minayin l'Rav shelo yeshev al gabi mito v'yishana l'talmido al gabi karka. Now watch what's happening now. Here, the Talmidim are sitting on the karka, on the ground. And the Rebbe is going to sit on a couch. And they're not what you call shava b'shava. Says Rabbi Avo, that's also prohibited. Now this prohibition might apply even after the death of Rabbi Gamliel, and perhaps only after the death of Rabbi Gamliel, meaning when the Torah is being transmitted from a Rebbe to a Talmud after Rabbi Gamliel, we do it b'yeshiva. Comes along Rabbi Avo and he says, okay, b'yeshiva. But b'yeshiva means shava b'shava. Shenemar v'ato po amod imadi. Imadi means shava. That both HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel and Moshe Rabbeinu are standing. And therefore, in the case of yeshiva, it's not enough that the Rebbe is... I'm sorry, let's start the other way around. It's not enough that the Talmidim are sitting, in this case, al gabi karka, and the Rebbe is going to sit on a couch, because that's not shava b'shava. And we're going to derive from this pasuk, omed imadi, is they have to be equal. Tana Rabbanan, v'yamos Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ad Rav Gamliel, until the death of Rav Gamliel, lo hayu lemeidim Torah el me'umad. No, it's the covenant for the Torah was at its prime, and that's what it means. V'atol po amodi madi, misha meis Rav Gamliel yarad choli liolam. Now, according to this presentation, which we'll see a different one in a minute, it seems almost coincidental that at the time of the death of Rav Gamliel, there was a change in nature. Again, you have to know metaphysically what that means. And Yorad Chol Ilol, people were too weak and they couldn't study Torah B'Amidah. You loved him Torah B'Yushav. V'ayinu D'Snan B'Shemes Rav Gamliel Botel Kvod HaTorah. It's a mission in Sota that there was no longer Kvod HaTorah. Again, not because they wanted to insult the Torah Chas V'Shav, but because they were too weak to stand. So it was sort of like balancing here. They had to judge and decide between not being able to receive the Torah, but having the covenant Torah standing, but they couldn't receive the Torah in a profound way because they were too weak. And on the other hand, give covenant Torah even at the expense of reducing the level of Torah. So instead they put the emphasis on increasing or shall we say, making it a more profound experience of studying Torah, even at the expense of an absence of Kavanah Torah. Kasav Echad Omer. Now the Gemara tries to reconcile a contradiction in the Pesukim. One Pasuk says, with regard to the first set of Luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, I'm going to read the whole Pasuk, Balosi Hahara, Lakachas Luchos Avanim, Luchos Abris, Va'eshev Bahar, Arba'im Yom, Farba'im Laila. It sounds that Moshe received the Torah in a sitting position. But for Kosev Echad Omer, another Pasuk says, with regard to the second set of Luchos, after the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, V'anochi Amadati Bahar, Kayomim Arishonim, Arba'im Yom, Farba'im Laila. Now the word amanity indicates that he was Bamida. And the Gemara offers a number of possible reconciliations. And all of these have halachic implications, at least if we say at the time prior to the death of Rav Gamliel. Amar Rav. Rav Shita is that Omeid Vilomeid Yoshe Vishone. That when you hear the Torah the first time around, then you have to hear it while you're standing. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. For Anochi Omadati. Omadati means when I receive the Torah fresh and new. But then something called Yoshev Vishona, that when he reviewed his lesson, then he sat down. Now, why would that be so? Like today we call a yeshiva a yeshiva. Why it's called a yeshiva? Because we want to reach a deeper level of understanding, and it's much easier to concentrate, focus, in depth when you're sitting. So when you review something, now you have to add something, you have to embellish, you have to go deeper and deeper. For that you need a posture of yeshiva. Okay. Rabbi Chanina Omar, he has a different reconciliation. Everything is talking about the time that Moshe Rabbeinu studied Torah Mipi Agvura. And why does the Torah give us contradictory messages here? And the answer is that there's something that has both elements to it. It has Amida and Yeshiva. Lo Omed v'lo Yoshev, Ela Shocha. Shocha in Hebrew is called Mekufaf. He's bent over Kimishtachav. In other words, on the one hand, he's not standing straight. That would be a little bit too difficult for him. On the other hand, he's still giving Kavanah Torah because he's not sitting, it's almost like he's bowing, and now we can be Makayim both Kiyumim. Now, Rabbi Osei, here I would ask the following question, but it's not for us now, I'm just mentioning it. I don't know if he's leaning on something or he's just bowing and bending, because if you bend without leaning on something, I don't know about you guys, but I wouldn't last for more than maybe 2 minutes, you know. So this touches on the whole issue during vidui, if you know what I'm talking about, whether you're allowed to lean on a shtender during vidui. because vidui requires amida. Rabbi Yochanan Omar.
Steindl says.
Oh, what does Steindl say?
Mitkofef.
That's exactly what I just said. Mekufaf. But if Steindl says it, then it's from Steindl. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan says the following: Ein yeshiva el loshen akava. He's going to prove from Tanakh that the word yeshiva doesn't necessarily mean sitting. Yeshiva means holding on to something, sort of delaying something or continuing a situation. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling you that Eshev v'Eshev Bahar Arboim Yom Arboim Laila means I stayed up on the mountain to study Torah for 40 days and 40 nights. How do we know that the word yeshiva means Lashon HaKavah? Shenemar, when Moshe Rabbeinu gives rebuke to the people of Israel, it says, Vateshvu, he says to them, he rips it into them, Vateshvu b'kadesh yamim rabim. It doesn't mean that they actually sat, but it means they delayed the movement onwards, and they stayed in kadesh yamim rabim. That's where they felt it was comfortable for them. But Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, we have to move on. In any event, when Moshe Rabbeinu says that he was up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, it doesn't mean that he sat there, but it means he remained there. Rava Amar, this is what I like. I like Rava. I'm a big Rava fan here. Anybody know how old Rava was when he died, by the way? 40 years old. It's mind-blowing. The Gaon says he can't learn, I think he said, 6 blot and shots without Rava. The man died at the age of 40. I mean, I it brings me to tears when I think of it. Abaye, by the way, also lived to an old age. He was 60 when he died.
60, yeah. In those times, it wasn't old age.
Well, not really. I mean, the Gemara says that they were from Beis Eli, so the curse of Beis Eli applied to Abaye and Rava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Abaye an extra 20 years. He was also meant to die at the age of 40. But he was also in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. And the Chafetz Chaim says that he missed 20 years of learning out of the 40 years because he divided his time between Chesed and Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him back the 20 years. That's the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Amar, Rakos Me'umad, and Koshos Me'yushal. Ah, this is great. He's saying the following. You know, we call it Bekiyus and Iyun. Now, I like to call my Shirim like Bekiyun, sort of like in the middle. Lo Yoshev Lo Omer. He says the following.
I'm not sure I can hold the bowing position for the entire thing.
Yeah, right, right. Bowing is tough. Unless you can lean on something, maybe. Okay. So there's something called rakos. Rakos are the simple matters, you know, that you can learn on a superficial level. Like it says by Kosomru Lebeis Yaakov V'Tagidu Lebnei Yisrael, right? So Kosomru is like Lashon Raka. It's a soft language.
Like the Daf Yomi.
I find the Daf Yomi, I get headaches with Daf Yomi. But anyway, so he says the following: when you're sitting down, it's much easier to focus on koshos, on something that's very difficult, and you want to really analyze it. All right, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the following: Kara echad karu shnayim yotza. In the case of Megillah, even if two people are reading the Megillah simultaneously, again, it's not the Sfasema says that one read the first half of the Megillah, the other read the second half of the Megillah, but we're going to go with the simple pshat, Yoyotze. And then again, we're going to emphasize the contrast to Kriyas HaTorah. Tana, the Brisa says, Mashenkim bin Torah. So in Torah, if two people are reading the Torah simultaneously, no one is Yotze. Tana Rabbanon, bin Torah, Echad Kore, it's absolutely critical that only one person read the Torah at that time. The Echad Metargim, and even as far as Targum is concerned, we're going to make sure that there's only one Metargim. By the way, I was told that in some rare Yemenite communities today, they still have a Metargim. And one of the most popular names amongst Yemenites is Turjaman. I don't know if you've ever met a Turjaman. Yeah, it's a big family. It's like Schwartz for the Ashkenazi. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Every other Yemenite guy is a Turjaman.
Yeah.
A Turjaman means that he comes from a family of Metargumen, that they were the experts in Tirgum. And after some had the minig, after each Aliyah they had a Tirgum, and some simultaneously after each Pasuk. And that's because they understood Aramaic. Mm-hmm. And we discussed this yesterday, if you remember. So he says the following, that you should only have one mitargim at a time. Because if you have two mitargim, he's telling you a chiddush. Not only do we exclude two korim, if two people are reading the Torah at the same time, that's for sure is out. But even the mitargamin, which is more of a kula, I mean, that's not the ikar mitzvah, even here, we exclude two mitargamin. Which basically means that if you hear two voices at the same time, it's impossible to focus on one of them. It inevitably, you know, one cancels the other. That's called trei koli lo mishtamoi. However, all this is only with regard to Kriyas HaTorah. The Chachamim were very makpid on Kriyas HaTorah. We wanted to make sure that, number one, everyone would hear the Kriya. And number two, that everyone would understand the Kriya. And how would they understand the Kriya? Through the Tirgum. But in Navi is already one level, one notch lower. It's not so important. And the Chachamim were not makpid that everybody should hear the Mitargim. And therefore, with regard to the Navi, is Echad Kore Ushnayim Mitargim. In other words, although we're going to be makpid that everyone hear the Haftorah, and therefore only one person is allowed to read the Haftorah at that time, but as far as the Mitargim is concerned, we're laid back. We can have two Mitargim. And that's what it says, Uvavashlo Ushnayim Korim Ushnayim Mitargim. So again, as far as the reading of the Haftorah is concerned, Chachamim want to be makpid that they hear the Kriya, and therefore we would absolutely enjoin two people from reading the Haftorah at the same time, because Trei Koli Lo Mishtamoi. However, they would make ill with regard to Targum. Now, the sense I get here, Rabosai, is that this is all post Ezra. Do you remember we discussed the difference between Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu and Takonis Ezra? At the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no Mitargim. It's only when Ezra came that they introduced the Mitargim. And it would seem that Ezra really made a radical change in the whole nature of the Takona of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, adding a whole new element into the equation. It's not just reading Psukim, it's understanding the Psukim. And the Mitargim was there to function in that capacity, make sure that we'd understand the Psukim. You know, for certain people in Klal Yisrael, that's all the Torah they had. They were able to learn, and whatever Torah they understood was from the reading of the Torah. Now, admittedly, there are certain parashios which I don't know if it's so critical, but in many parashios, you take for example Ki Teitzeh, it has over 70 mitzvahs in it. You know, it's very important for your average person who doesn't study Torah to hear those mitzvahs. And if he doesn't understand the original language, then the Tirgum becomes absolutely critical. So with regard to Torah Shebichsav, which is the Iker Mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, we're going to add the element of Tirgum to guarantee that we understand the Torah Shebichsav. And from that perspective, it's very important that there be only one Mitargim. Right? Shelo Yushnayim Mitargim. And when it gets to the Haftorah, here, again, I'm not exactly sure there's this like Bein HaShmashos kind of twilight zone here. We really want a Mitargim. We wanted people to understand the Nevuah, especially, you know, 90% or 99% of the cases the Nevuah is there as a Nechama to give us an optimistic faith and hope for the future and the ultimate redemption. And it's important that people understand the Navi. And even today, if you look around, most people when you know, unless they have a good art scroll in front of them, when they read the Haftorah, they like tune out, if you know what I mean. Like, especially some Haftorahs are murder. So they wanted to give some meaning and significance to the Haftorah, so they added a Mitargim. But it's not on the same level, because again, we're not talking about the Iker Mitzvah. The Iker Mitzvah is not the Haftorah. The Haftorah is like an addendum, you know, it's an auxiliary mitzvah, and therefore they were more laid back about the Mitargim, and you could have two Mitargim in. Now, Rabosei, I'm wondering out loud, why did they want to have two Mitargim in? And in the case of the Haftorah, they were even making to allow two Mitargim in. So I thought, again, this is on a very, very simple level, that maybe there were so many people in the synagogue there were people who sat up front, there were people who sat towards the back of the synagogue. Maybe it was necessary to have two men targumim. And maybe that's why they were willing to be a bit more lenient when it came to the Haftorah, so that they would have two men targumim. But I don't know, it seems to me that that pshat is incorrect, because if the shul was sort of divided up into sections, then I don't know if we would apply the principle of trei koli lo mishtamoi. The people up front would hear the mitargim who was towards the front, and the people in the back would hear the mitargim who was in the back. Would there be an interference?
Well, it could be that the two voices together are louder, therefore together they reach the back.
Right, maybe they were both screaming it out loud, and there were a bunch of people who couldn't hear both of them, or something like that. I don't know.
Rashi's comment is interesting. You see that.
Mitzvahs, right, that's what I said. I gave an example of Kitetze. You know, we have so many mitzvahs, it's very important that they understand. Right, they were more makil in the case of the Haftorah for the Nevi'im.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Mishnah says,
because as you said, the Haftorah is so much more difficult.
Do you have the next word, Bahalel, in your Gemara?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a big Girsa issue, because there are two Girsos here. One Girsa takes out the word Halel, that's the Meiri's Girsa, and he only has the word Megillah. And the Sifsi Chachamim, who lived not that long ago, he says that according to our text that we have Hallel, the Bryce actually mentions Hallel first. And that's based on the principle called Tadir Vishenu Tadir Tadir Kodim. Megillah comes once a year. Hallel comes many times during the year. 18 times during the year. Or in Chutzlar, it's 21 times during 21 days of Hallel. So therefore, that's the Girsa of Hallel. Now, the Meiri doesn't have the Girsa of Hallel, and we'll see why in Mitzvah. So in any event, it says behalu b'megillah afilu asara korim v'asara mitargumim, and it sounds like even lechatchila you could have many people read the Megillah simultaneously and translating the Megillah simultaneously. And the reason for this, the Gemara has to understand, that seems to be antithetical to the principle of trei koli lo mishtamoi. Now Rashi, Dibra Maskel Vasara, takes out the words Vyasara Mitargumin. He can't tolerate that girsa, because he says that when we get to Ksuvim, there's no such thing as Targum. Now the truth be told, that there was a Targum on Ksuvim, but it came much later. You remember the sugi that we learned, that Yonasan and Uzziel refused to be Mitargim Ksuvim, because they told them in certain parts of Ksuvim you're not allowed to be Mitargim, and they have to do with the secrets of Geula. We can't reveal those secrets. But in fact, historically, there was a Targum on Ksuvim much later on at the time of the Tannaim. So that if you have the Girsa of Mitargim, then there is such a thing as Targum on Ksuvim in the case of Megillah. And that's the later Targum that was published at the time of the Tannaim. But Rashi is going back to the original halacha that there's no such thing as Targum on Ksuvim, because the Yonasan ben Uzziel refused to be Mitargim Ksuvim, and therefore he takes out the words V'yasara Mitargim. Now the Gemara asks, my timer, why is the din of Halal and Megillah different than the din of Kriyas HaTorah? In Kriyas HaTorah we absolutely forbid two people to read the Torah simultaneously. The Gemara says, Kevin dechaviv alei is therefore Yavi Daite Alayu Yalvi Daitu V'shame. In other words, this whole principle of trei koli lo mishtamoi is not some sort of gzeiras hakosu, an absolute formal rule in the Torah. It's a psychological rule. You know, that you get distracted when you hear two voices at the same time, and how much more so 10 voices at the same time. So it's impossible for you to discern one voice and follow one voice from beginning to end. However, in the case of Megillah, and we'll see how this applies to Hallel, it's chavivoleh. You know, everybody loves to hear the Megillah. I mean, I don't know how this applies to Loazim who don't understand Bashurus, but let's say if we understand the reading of the Megillah, we're going to be able to latch on to one particular Koreh, even though there are two people reading it at the same time, or even 10 people reading it at the same time. And that's called, in the language of the Gemara, Yahavi Datayu. He's able to discern one voice, Vishame, and to listen, despite the fact that there are many people reading it simultaneously. That's called Chaviv. What about Hallel? So if you take a look in the Me'iri says that Hallel is also Chaviva, because the structure of Hallel is really built around Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? How do we say there? Betzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, etc. And when it comes to Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's also Chaviva. Yeah,
so this makes Me'ir and Kedusha Iran, I'm not sure which one specifically says it, but with Megillah raised the issue that if people are focusing on one voice of the many voices, all of them, if all of them are not reading from a kosher Megillah,
yeah,
then which voice are you listening to?
Right, right. You have to make sure that the voice that you're hearing is reading from, is reading it from a Megillah. That's why the post can say it's good to have your own Megillah if possible. That's a pretty expensive investment these days. In my day, you could buy a Megillah for $500. I think today you get Bafkis for $500.
With Shema, we conclude you don't have to hear. But are you Yotze if you're reading the Megillah and you don't hear what you're saying, if you're reading it yourself, quietly to yourself?
I'd have to check that out, but I'm pretty sure you are Yotze, if I remember correctly.
Even if you're just reading it without...
The Kriyat Shema is Machlokes Tanoim.
Right.
And I think we pass in, even in Kriyat Shema, but the Evid, you could be Yotze. Certainly in the Megillah.
Right, this is kind of Pesumei Anes, so do you have to read it out loud? Even though you're the only one hearing it, maybe it's different because it's Pesumei Anes.
So what, you should read it along with the Baal Koryim?
No, in other words, if you are doing it on your own, you have a Megillah and you're gonna read it. Do you have to read it out loud so you can hear it?
Again, I think l'chatchila for sure you should want to hear it, but
right,
you're asking b'di'evit if he didn't hear it. I think we paskin that even if he didn't hear it, he was yotze. So Rabbi said, let me just give an introduction to the next sugya, which is a very fascinating sugya. It's a very short sugya, but there's a lot more than meets to this sugya than what meets the eye. You remember that the Mishnah said that the bracha on Megillah is totally in minhag. And if you read the Megillah, if you read the Mishnah straightforward, you might get the impression that the brachos that we recite before the Megillah depend upon a minigam makom. Amar Abaye says, no, don't misunderstand. Lo shana, what the Mishnah is referring to is El Lachreha, the bracha of Haravis Rivenu after the Megillah. Aval Lefaneha, mitzvah levarich. Mitzvah means it's an absolute obligation and it applies to every minhag, every makom on the face of the earth. And how? How does Abaye know such a thing? The Omer of Yehuda Meshmuel, it's an application of a universal rule that kol mitzvahs kula mevarech aleihem over la'asiyasan. So that requires a bracha before the asiyah. And there are rare cases where it's impossible to recite the bracha before the asiyah. For example, a ger who goes down to the mikveh, he can't say Asher Kedushan Mitzvah Mitzvah until after he comes up from the mikveh. But as a general rule, the bracha has to be recited before the asiyah. The Gemara now focuses on the word over. How do we know that the word over refers to before? The translation of the word over is before, and that we're going to derive from a pasuk in Tanakh. But what I wanted to tell you about this sugya, just as an introduction, Belinetta will pick it up on Sunday, is that there's something called manach. If you fast forward a few lines in the Gemara, you'll see that the Gemara says that there's an absolute requirement before the Megillah, and this is not totally a minhag, to recite manach. Rashi says manach is Rashi Tevis for three brachos. So the letter mem is mikra Megillah, the letter nun is sha'asa nisim, and the letter ches is shehechiyon, with the ches of shehechiyon. Now, what's very profound about this sugya is that the Gemara establishes that with regard to manach, all the three, there's no question about it. It's an absolute requirement. And it's all derived from the principle of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. That kol mitzvahs kulam mevarech aleihem over la'asiyasan. Now, Pashtus, when you read the words of Shmuel, of Rabbi Yudam and Shmuel, what kind of a bracha? You know, we classify brachas into three major categories. There's Birchas HaNenu, there's Birchas Shevach V'Odoya, and then there's Birchas HaMitzvah. Which category of the three are we talking about? Which kind of a bracha requires over Lasiyasa?
It's a mitzvah.
It says Meferish. It says Kol HaMitzvahs Kula. So we're not referring to a Birchas Shevach V'Odoya. In fact, if you make a bracha on lightning or thunder, you're going to make it afterwards, right? So the question is, how does Gemara derive manach? And what I'm referring to is nach here, not ma. The ma, I understand, because that's mikra megillah. That for sure has to be a requirement, because kol mitzvahs kula b'varach aleihem over lasiyasa. But when we get to, right, when we get to nach, right? I'm not talking about the bretzel and nach, but I mean when we get to ashasa nisim and certainly shachiyanu, how does the Gemara know that that's an absolute requirement? Maybe that bracha is totally b'minah. The Gemara's proof that manach is an absolute requirement is based on Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel. But Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel is referring specifically, exclusively to a Birchas HaMitzvah. Then that makes sense in terms of the first of the three brachas, but not the other two. So that's why I say this sugya is a lot more profound than meets the eye. So we'll end there. So let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos. And hopefully, if we didn't do too well with the first set of luchas, but we'll do better with the second set of luchas.
I'm
you're away. You're gone. So,